My Rise Up family, how you doing this morning? So good to see you as always. Very much appreciate you guys being here, and very much appreciate you guys opening up your Bibles and learning with me today. And that's exactly what we're here to do. We're here to learn. Now, unfortunately, the episode number today is episode number 666. And I almost didn't even want to type out 666 this morning when I sent out the newsletter and when I, you know, titled the show, which you'll see individually after it's done outside of the all-day stream. And I was going to type 66 question mark. And as I was doing that, God said, what are you afraid of? If the devil has no power in your life, then what are you afraid of? It's a number. And since I created language and math, it has no power over you. And I was like, oh yeah. So I just typed it out, put it in, and there it is. But if you got your morning newsletter today, I will, I'll kind of go, if you didn't get it, I'll go over it. If you did get it, well then, you already know what it says anyway. However, Rise Up episode number 666 is all about casting stones, as you have seen in the thumbnail, if you just jumped on this morning. Now, I'm not fond of the number, like I said, and I wasn't going to do it until I was convicted of, why not? There's no power there, and I was like, oh yeah. So today we're going to be convicting ourselves by talking about the first stone cast. And we've all done it. Maybe possibly we all do it today. But the first stone cast is a very important story in the Bible. And I think what's really, really amazing about the story of casting the first stone is what Jesus did when he was... A lot of people think he was buying time, but I don't think that's the case. Because why would Jesus ever need to buy time? Why would Jesus ever need to procrastinate or try to, you know, like buy time from a situation? He wouldn't. I would most, knowing Jesus, I would think that what Jesus was doing during that whole story was because I think he does everything for a specific reason. I don't think that Jesus does anything just to do. I think he does for specific reasons. Everything Jesus did had a purpose. Everything that he did in his mission had a purpose. So this is going to be a really, really cool episode today. And it's going to show the devil that there is no power in his numbers. There's no power in his actions. And there's no power in this thread and on this show with him or for him. Good morning, Amanda. Good morning, CQ. How you doing? House of Curtains says, everything has a purpose, for it is written. Terry says, name of the opening song, the song we just played, it was The Lamb, Alleluia, by Bethel Music and John Wilds. Jonathan, good morning. Good morning to Kat. Good morning to Rosebud. Jonathan said, I heard a Bible teacher suggest Jesus was writing the woman the stoners had been with in the past, and they had to flee. Well, we're going to break that down today, and I can't wait to talk about it. Have you guys ever seen, I don't know if it was, I think it was on, maybe it was on Netflix for a long time. Maybe it was on Prime or something. I don't know. But it was the series called The Bible. It came out about 5 years ago. I think 2020 or so, maybe 2019. It was the series called just The Bible. And it went through, you know, basically everything up through Jesus's life. And each episode was a different story of the Bible from the beginning until Jesus. That series, I think it had like 8 or 10 episodes in it. And a funny thing about it is, in my very first studio, not the studio in the basement, not the studio at the house, but in my very first like real studio that we built, I used to have that on during the day when I wasn't on air. And I would literally play it over and over and over again. It was such a good series. If you haven't seen it, I very highly suggest seeing it. Just The Bible. You'll love it. It's great. It Can't Be Said, such a good series. I watched Son of God last night, which is a movie summary of the Jesus part of the show. I saw that too. Really awesome. S. Marvel, working but listening, and Ken, come on periodically. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you being here. Do me a favor, guys. We did not get a morning feature this morning on Rumble, but that's okay. If we're featured 99 times out of 100 in the morning time to really boost LFA out there, that's great. This is what happens when we're not. We get our normal, everyday, Bible-seeking, God-seeking audience. And I assume tomorrow we'll be back featured again. So if you ever wondered how sometimes you see 10,000 and sometimes you see 1,000, that is why. It's that morning feature spot on Rumble. And I guess they can't feature us every single day. And that's okay, because it gives us a chance to be a little bit more intimate. And a big shout out to Little David. Kalia says, it's Little David's first day back to school. Our kids are next week. So big shout out, Little David. Awesome. Awesome. Yes, Eileen said, also the sequel to the Bible called AD. Another great series. Did you notice that, Jeremy, what happened to somebody's watching me? I don't know. Nobody banned them or anything. I'm not sure. Do you notice how many number one shows are now coming out about God? About the Bible? About Jesus? Like, God's word is taking over number one billboard spots for music and streaming. God's word is becoming movie and or series like King David and others, The Chosen. And they're like shooting up to number one. And millions of people around the world are like diving headfirst into Christianity for the very first time in their lives. And I don't know if you can call that a revival or if you can call that a set up for what I think is going to be the biggest movie of all time, which is The Resurrection with Mel Gibson and with Jim Caviezel. Now, Mel Gibson actually said that, you know, obviously they've gotten older. You know, Mel and Jim have both gotten older. He did say, however, that Jim is looking, you know, aging like fine wine, but they are going to use technology that is available today to kind of de-age Jim Caviezel to look like he did, you know, right after the movie The Passion of the Christ. Now, at that moment, the movie of The Passion of the Christ was number one in the world, number one rated R movie. It claimed that title for like 20 years until I believe Deadpool came out. And then Deadpool, which is a comic book Marvel movie, that was rated R. And that actually ended up beating ticket sales and viewership of The Passion of the Christ. But what do you think is going to happen when all of this revival that we see in music, movies, short clips, podcasts, you know, all of it leading back to God? What do you think is going to happen when the resurrection comes? It's only going to set the blocks for the resurrection to be the most widely viewed movie of all time. And all glory goes back to God for that. It's going to be great. It was awesome. My children are really getting into it now. Adults, says 47 Michelle. Which I hope my kids carry on what we've taught them when they were, you know, as they've been young and getting into adulthood. I hope my kids carry on the love for Jesus. Like, I know it's hard at 15 and 16. And every time I see like a 15, 16, 17, 18 year old just on fire for the Lord, I'm like, how did, you know, like, did I do something wrong as a parent? Like, I wish my kids were on fire for the Lord as much as some of these other youngsters are. But maybe God has a life for them to live. Maybe God needs them to experience and gain wisdom on certain things in order to bring them into whatever they're going to be. Maybe that is the case. Mel is teaming up with Catholics, hilarious, to make sure everything is correct when making this movie. Well, remember what happened the last time he made The Passion of the Christ. He got annexed from Hollywood, which is probably the best thing that ever happened to him. Talking about casting the first stone, right? Talking about casting the first stone. Look at the stones that Hollywood cast at Mel Gibson. Look at how they excommunicated him. And it was the greatest thing that ever happened to him. Because he still continued to go on making movies. He went on to produce his own movies. And now people like him, Mark Wahlberg, and others are creating a counterculture movie production corporation that is going to rival Hollywood. Now, that's very hard to do. Now, I wouldn't call what Mel Gibson and others are doing casting stones back. I would call what Mel Gibson and those others, what they're doing, I would say that is what Jesus was doing when he wrote in the sand, when that woman was about to be stoned to death. So let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Let's bow our heads. Let's remove our hats. And yes, USA Trump for Life, the rebirth of movies is here. And it's going to be God-centered. And everything that is God-centered is always ordained. Always. So, it is 18 minutes past the hour. Let's all get together now and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Father in heaven, when we look at ourselves today in 2025, when we look in the mirror, I think the big question that we need to ask ourselves in what, Father God, you put on my heart every day is, do you like the person that you see looking back? Is the person looking back at us in the mirror the person that Christ wants us to be? And Lord, unfortunately, every time I look in the mirror, the answer has to be for me, no. Now, Lord, I am so grateful that you've brought me as far as you have. I'm so grateful that you've brought the people that watch this show as far as you have. But as long as we're alive, we know that there's more for us to do. We know that there is more that we need to purge away from our flesh and away from our earthly desires. We know that there's more to purge when it comes to judging others, making fun of others, talking down about others. And when we go back, Lord, to this message that you have brought forward today about casting the first stone, I feel so inadequate in my ambassadorship for your word. So, Lord, I just pray that you put that on my heart today, that you put it on my heart tomorrow, and every day I wake up, every day I look in that mirror, Lord, I pray that the person that I see back is a person that Jesus would welcome his arms, open his arms and welcome into his kingdom. We thank you for this message today. And in his holy name, his life, his death, and his resurrection, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Question is the person that you see looking back, is that person the person that Jesus wants to see? Some days I think I am. But a lot of days I don't know. I'll tell you a story before we get into the verse. And by the way, the verse of the day today is going to come from John chapter 8, verse 6 through 11. So if you want to open up your apps, if you want to open up your Bibles, it's John chapter 8, verse 6 through 11. Okay? Yesterday, I saw a video. I'm going to bring up this video. I didn't have it ready, so I apologize. It's going to take me a minute to get there. But I want to be honest with you guys and upfront about my walk with Jesus, where I screw up, where I feel like I do right, what I can do better on, and so on and so forth. Might take me a minute to find it here, but the fact of the matter is, what we're looking for, what I'm about to show you, is a video that I saw. There it is. I saw this video yesterday. I won't play the video for you. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I want to show you the visual. And that's this. Now, this guy's a pizza delivery guy. And as you can see, there's something physically, you know, wrong with him from the head, you know, down, the neck region. And the first thing that I did was I kind of stepped back like this and cracked a smile. And then I said, oh, I've got to go straight to the comments on this one. And when I went to the comments, all I could do was laugh. One comment was, how does he fold sheets? You know, putting the sheet under your chin. And I laughed. And I was going through the comments and I was just laughing at what people were saying about one of God's children, about one of God's most precious creations. And it happened, it went on for about 5 minutes where I was just scrolling through and laughing. And I wasn't laughing so much at the man, I was laughing at the comments about his physical look. Now I'll tell you, I'm nothing to write home about. I got tons of issues physically, mentally and emotionally, a lot. I think a lot of us would say that. And I think that there is a way to have, you know, joke harmlessly about somebody. If it's like, if my friends joke with me and I joke with my friends about the way we look, that I don't take that, you know, I don't take that to heart. But that's because I know these people and we're friends and we rag on each other. And it's what guys do, especially Gen X, early millennial, late Gen X, early millennial people. We're tough skinned like that. We're rhino skin, not rhinos, but rhino skin. And I feel horrible today. I do. I feel horrible about laughing at this man. And the whole, remember the Michael Jackson song? I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. But no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make the change. Call you, my leg, that's something that is always going to be there. That's damaged nerves that I got in that leg. I've gone to the hospital many times about it. And if I'm in a lot of heat and I'm on it all day, it's going to look like that always. I have some on the right, on the side of my calf. I damaged it at Six Flags really bad one time. Should have sued him, but I didn't. So I have some serious nerve damage in my leg that doesn't allow blood flow. Maybe I could get some surgery. I don't know, but that's what that was. But I'll tell you what, it does hurt when people make fun of you, right? And when this man put this video online, I imagine he probably went through the comment section and he probably saw what people were saying about him, judging him for the way he looked. And that's horrible. Absolutely horrible. So what I want to do right now is I want to go to a video from that series, The Bible, and then we'll move on and we'll talk about the verse. We'll go to the verse. And then we'll talk a little bit more about casting stones, okay? All right, here we go.
Commands us to stone such a woman. What do you say?
It's a trap.
I'll give my stone to the first man who tells me that he has never sinned.
So, obviously, Jesus was, they were getting ready to trap him, right? That's what they wanted to do. They were getting ready to trap Jesus so they could bring charges against him. Somehow, some way. I had another clip here. Let's go ahead and play this one right here.
Tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. For whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek,
in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?
This part right here.
What sayest thou?
He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Thine accusers. Hath no man condemned thee? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
So, what I saw in that video was love and mercy and grace. If anything that we learn from, do we cast stones? Do we wrongfully and unrighteously judge? Or do we show love, grace, and mercy to those who may have done wrong, to those who may have hurt us, to those who do make fun of us? And I always love how people will cherry pick the Christians are not supposed to judge. And they always read, do not judge, but they don't read the next part, lest you be judged yourself. So many different variations of the, you know, different versions of the Bible will say something. I'm just paraphrasing there, but Christians are absolutely supposed to righteously judge, but we're not supposed to judge unrighteously. And those Pharisees were about to judge unrighteously because they were hypocrites, because they were doing the same thing. Jesus showed grace, mercy, and love because it wasn't his time to judge yet. That time's coming. And I think we all cast stones in our lives at least once a week. Are we today worse than the Pharisees of that time? Well, we're not stoning people to death physically, no. But look at the bullying that goes on in this world. Look at the children who kill themselves in schools because people continue to cast stones at them verbally. Do you know that in the school that my kids go to, last year alone, I believe two people committed suicide because of being verbally accosted and stones verbally being casted at them, public shaming? Social media has amplified it so much because people can just cast stones right from their living room, right from their phone, on everybody that they see. Here's the thing. We don't even have to commit sin. We don't even have to see sin in order to judge harshly or cast stones. The Pharisees were at least seeing a sin. Now, they might be hypocrites, but they were doing what they were doing at that moment because they were seeing a sin take place. In our world today, we don't even have to see a sin take place. Let me paint a picture for you. Somebody's watching me said, I got bullied big time growing up. So you know what it's like. You know what it's like. And I'm sorry you had to go through that as a kid. I really am. I get it. And House of Curtains, you're right too. We lived by sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt me. But unfortunately, words do hurt. The power of the tongue has the power to create and destroy. And today we destroy people. Not we so much, but we as a culture, as a society, as a country, as a people. Let's paint a picture for you. And I want you to be honest in the live chat, okay? I'm actually kind of grateful that we didn't get featured this morning. I'm actually kind of grateful that the people that are in here this morning, this is an intimate message for this weird number of a show. When you saw, after COVID, somebody wearing a mask in their car by themselves, did you cast stones? I did. Big time. I still do. When you see somebody at a drive-thru or maybe at the checkout counter at a Walgreens or a CVS or a Walmart or wherever you are, and their nose-piercing, different-colored hair, horrible haircut, black-rimmed glasses, tight skinny jeans, and a shirt that says, "Go home, fascist." Do you cast stones? I do. When you drive by a church and you see the LGBTQ flag outside the church that says trans and LGBTQ, you know, propaganda on the, you know, on the church or on the sign in front of the church that they put out, do you cast stones? I do. Let me ask you this. Let's paint the opposite picture now. When people see an American flag on your shirt or on your house, do they cast stones? Well, if they're a leftist, they do. Look at me when I was out weed whacking last week. My truck is wrapped with a Trump wrap. Obviously, I'm putting myself in a position to have people say rude things to me. I knew that when I put it on. Doesn't take away from the fact that when they do, it, you know, it bothers me. But it's my own fault, right? But anyway, when I was out weed whacking, I told you the story. A guy drove by. Trump sucks, loser. Casting stones without knowing me. Now, I have a sister and a brother-in-law who are super Democrat. They don't like Trump at all. And on my birthday, they drove from Chicago to be with me on my birthday. And I had the greatest time with them because they refuse to cast stones at me just because of their judgment of what I must be like. T-Mundy said, I still get harassment every day for all my flags. Kelly said, I've seen people riding motorcycles while wearing a mask. Just saying, so have I, which is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So, let's go to the verse of the day today. Now, we're going to read quite a bit of it because I want to read it in context, okay? So we're going to read from, let's say, verse 6 all the way down. I'll bring this up here for you. Verse 6 is at the top of the page. Right here. It says, this they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Now, this is going to be a very important discussion surrounding Jesus writing in the ground, because there's a lot of, you know, ideas of why he might have done that. Because it doesn't say explicitly in the text what he wrote, it's only left up to assumption, interpretation, maybe research of that time, what it meant. A lot of people have a lot of different ideas of what it meant. Some people say that he was writing the names of the people that the Pharisees had slept with and showing that they were hypocrites. Some people say that he was just buying time for people to really think about what he was doing and saying and to think about their own hypocrisy. Some people say that he was writing the names of the Pharisees that were there in the sand, some people, or in the dirt. Some people say that he was writing all the sins. And I'm going to have my own assumption based on a little research that I believe was going on when he did that. But let's get back to the verse here. It says, Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them. Now, this is very important too, because it said, as they continued to ask him. So that means that multiple people were continuing, or at least one was continuing, to ask him the same question. So he must have been down there for, you know, a good 30 seconds to a minute, I would assume, writing something in the sand or the dirt. They continued to ask him. He stood up and said to them, we're right here. Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And once more, he bent down and wrote on the ground. Eileen, we are in John chapter 8, verse 6 through 11. Okay? And once more, verse 8 here, he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. When they heard what? Because he told them, let those of you who, you know, have never sinned cast the first stone. And then he sat down and then he bent down and wrote again. So were they, is this saying that when they heard him or when they heard the voice of God maybe convicting them in their hearts? Probably more than likely this is meaning when they heard his words. But again, his words was God's word convicting him in their heart. So it's kind of a twofer there, right? It says, but when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Now we're at 10 here, right here. Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. I want to stop right there because that last sentence is an argument you'll get from the left. It's also an argument you'll get from people. When I say the left, what I mean is a lot of people who don't believe in God, who are questioning our belief in God. They're going to go to that last sentence. You know what else you're going to hear? A lot of believers in God, whether they're really saved or not. A lot of people who say they believe in God, they will go to that last sentence as well. You're not supposed to sin anymore. Do you honestly think that Jesus expects that woman or any of us to never sin again? Because if you do think that, if you are of that mindset, let me ask you, what was the reason for his death on the cross then? I mean, that's a real question that I would have to somebody who says, you are not supposed to sin anymore. And most likely these are works-based faith people that believe you have to continue to do the works in order to get into heaven. But my question is, again, if that's the case, then why did Jesus go die on the cross? It was all for nothing if that's the case. If we can literally live an absolute sinless life, then what do we need Jesus for? Go and sin no more. At least as far as the way I take it is, and what I have been taught, is that your heart's desire is not to sin anymore. That you should go and desire not to sin anymore, which means your default setting shouldn't be, I want to run to sin. You want to run away from sin, and you'll sin less and less the more you do it. That's the way that I've always taken it. Somebody's watching me says, he knew kings would make you sin to exist. Not sure what I meant, what you mean by there. Lolo says truth. Eileen says repent. That's it. That when we do, we are to repent and not just live in that sin openly and love it. Now, in order to, that's right, Caramore, he knew us all from the beginning, sins and all. That's right. Homemade Mama says, don't continue doing the things that you were doing. And that includes putting yourself in precarious situations, right? Like, you go out to the bar at midnight, guaranteed thing, good, you know, bad things are going to happen. Good things are not going to come from that. You know what I mean? Now, I think to get back to him writing in the dirt or the sand or whatever it was, I think we've got to go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. Go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 13. I'll give you a minute to get there. Now, the one thing about the Bible is I may study this 10 years from now and have a completely different mindset as I have right now. The Lord might reveal something to me that I've never seen before. He tends to do that. But let's go to this now. Jeremiah 17, 13. Right here. It says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth. For they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Look at that. All who forsake you shall be put to shame. Is that not what the Pharisees felt at that moment? Isn't shame from their hypocrisy what made them drop the stones? I would say so. I would say if I was in that position, that would make me drop my stone. And then it says, those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth. Is that not what Jesus did? And is that not what the Pharisees had done? Is turned away from God, turned to themselves and their own greed? And isn't that what Jesus did? Was right in the dirt, in the earth? I believe he was writing their names. That's what I believe. I don't believe he was writing the names of the people that the Pharisees had slept with or their fornicating women. I believe he was writing their names while they were sitting there asking him again and again, trying to trap him. I believe he just bent down and wrote their names in the dirt, in the earth. Now, I could be 100% wrong. And the reason why is because maybe the Lord hasn't revealed that to me yet. But possibly I'm right. When you look at it, when you go looking for an answer to your question, the best place to get the answer is not from TikTok or Instagram. The best place to get the answer is in the Bible. Judy Bell says, why only men are women stoned? What about the man she was with? Well, we don't hear much about that man. We don't know if he was married or not. We don't know. I mean, we don't know who that man was, but you're right. But the reason why that is because the Pharisees are the ones who brought her out. Juppoff said, I think he wrote their name attached with the sin that they refused to repent for. You might be absolutely right there. You might be absolutely right. Why do you think there's a saying called, that person is running my name through the dirt, or that person is dragging my name through the mud? It's because when somebody is put to shame and there is something that somebody did wrong, and somebody is dragging you through the dirt or dragging your name through the mud because of it, and you feel convicted of it, it goes back to this. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth. So, if you ever want to study this, again, just remember it is John chapter 8, verse 6 through 11, and Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. And to everybody who just joined in, God bless you. Good morning. I hope you go back and watch this show. I think you'll really dig it. Having said that, now that we have gotten through our little lesson here, and now that we've convicted ourselves, let's go get some comfort, shall we? From Ray. Here we go.
You got me confused. You said you think there's an afterlife. You talked about Jesus dying for our sins, but you said you're not a Christian.
That's correct. I just started down my religious path, and I don't really know which direction to go in. I've never really truly committed to a higher power.
If you died today, where would you go?
I would hope that I'd go to heaven.
Why would you go to heaven? Are you a good person?
I try to be.
No, is your heart good?
I believe so, yes.
I'm going to challenge you on that.
Sure.
And it's one of the best things that'll ever happen to you, and I'll tell you why.
Sure.
Let's say you're a doctor, you've got a patient in front of you who thinks he's well. He looks
right.
Well, he goes to the gym every day.
Sure.
But you know he's got cancer. He's going to die in 2 weeks because you've seen the x-rays. You've got a cure. Should you give him the cure right away or show him the x-rays?
That's a big, tough one.
It's actually not hard. It's easy. I'll tell you why. You don't give him the cure because he thinks he's well. He's going to say, what do you give me a cure for? I'm a well person. Look at me. I go to the gym every day. He needs to see the x-rays.
Right.
And when he sees the x-rays, he'll say, whoa, this is serious. What should I do? And then the doctor says, I've got a cure for you. Now he's going to appreciate and appropriate the cure.
Mm-hmm.
So you think you're well morally. You think you're a good person. I'm going to show you the x-rays, the Ten Commandments. We'll go to the Ninth Commandment. How many lies have you told in your life?
Far too many to count, sir.
Ever stolen something, even if it's small?
Yes.
So you're a lying thief?
Yes, sir.
Ever used God's name in vain?
Absolutely.
You've taken the holy name of God, the one that gave you eyesight and hearing and taste buds, and a brain to think with, the blueness of the sky, friends and family, love and laughter, all these things are gifts from God, and you've taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word. Very serious. It's called blasphemy. One to go, and I appreciate your honesty. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Absolutely.
At sex before marriage?
Yes.
So here's a summation of your court case on Judgment Day. Rick, you've told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating, adulterate heart who's self-righteous, which is a sin in God's eyes, and saying you're a good person when it's obvious you're not. You're like the rest of us. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on Judgment Day, will you be innocent or guilty?
Guilty as charged.
Heaven or hell?
Straight to hell.
Now, does that concern you?
Of course it does.
Horrifies me. I've just met you, but I love you. I rode past you, and I came back because I felt compelled to share the gospel with you. We've looked at the x-rays. Things are pretty bad. You're terminal. Here comes the good news of the gospel, the cure. You're under God's wrath, heading for hell. How can the death of Jesus on that cross help you today?
It's like a lesson. He showed through his sacrifice.
But you know what Satan does?
He's starting to be convicted.
He blinds the minds of those that don't believe to the gospel. They can't see it. So I'm going to share the gospel with you. And Rick, if you can get a grip of this, it's going to change everything for you. So don't let anything distract you. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine in full. That's why he said, it is finished. Just before he died, he was saying, paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, a judge will let you go if someone pays them. Say you got a lot of fines here, you're guilty, but you can go because someone paid your fine, and it's legal. Well, God can legally take the death sentence off you. He can dismiss your case. He can grant you everlasting life as a free gift, because Jesus paid the fine on that cross in his life's blood, rose from the dead, defeated death, and if you'll simply repent of your sins, say, God, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you, and turn from your sins, it's called repentance, and put your trust in Jesus. The Bible says God will grant you everlasting life as a free gift, not because you're good, but because he's good and kind and rich in mercy. Okay, one last analogy. You're on the edge of a plane 10,000 feet up. You've got to jump. Why would you put on a parachute?
To save your life.
And your motivation is fear.
Right, of course.
And that fear is your friend. It's not your enemy, because it's doing you a big favor. It's making you put on a parachute. And Rick, because I love you, I've tried to put the fear of God in you today. I've tried to make you scared, hoping you'll see that fear as your friend, not your enemy. because it'll make you mean business with God. It'll make you look at the x-rays and say, man, I'm terminal. What should I do? And that fear should drive you to trust in Jesus with all your heart and say, God, I need a Savior. I need someone who can wash me clean. Is this making sense?
Absolutely.
You're going to think about what we talked about?
Yes, I will, actually.
So when are you going to repent and put your faith in Jesus?
As soon as possible.
Today?
Why not?
Can I pray with you?
Absolutely, sir.
Are you sorry for your sins?
I am.
Okay, let's pray. Father, I pray for Rick. Thank you for reaching out and touching him today. I pray you'll grant him understanding, grant him sorrow for his sins and genuine repentance. And this day may he see your wrath and at the same time your love and mercy extended towards him, a sinner on that cross. And may this day he pass from death to life, all because of your great mercy and your wonderful grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rick, I'm going to give you a Gospel of John. Do you know what a Gospel of John is?
Look at the tears.
Yeah, is that a tear in your eye?
Yes, sir.
Boy, that's very precious. That's called contrition or sorrow for sin. And the Bible says godly sorrow works repentance. So I'm going to give you a Gospel of John, which is the fourth book of the New Testament, a book I've written called Scientific Facts in the Bible, and two $5 In-N-Out cards for lunch today.
Sounds
fabulous. Okay, let me grab it. One moment. Do you have a Bible at home?
No, but I've actually been looking for one. Yeah. I've been looking for a Bible.
I'll get your address in a minute, and I'll send you a Bible called the Evidence Study Bible. We'll mail you one free of charge. Great to meet you, man.
Great to meet you as well.
Thank you.
Another seed planted, and hopefully another soul saved. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, it's 9 o'clock. My time, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That means Sean Farish is up here next. And as always, I'm so grateful that you guys join with me in Bible study. I'm going to get back into men's Bible studies. I haven't done that since I've been here in Iowa. I think it's time to get back to it. I need to be with other great men, great leaders of their family, great ambassadors for Christ, and I'm going to learn a lot more because there's a lot I need to learn. And I really like the Bible study portion like we did today. You know, I know my show is typically geared towards like things I'm going through or things that you might be going through, and we attach it to a verse on how to deal with it and really read it in context. But Bible study, trying to figure out an answer to something in the Bible, that's the way to do it. Sean Farish comes up next here on LFA TV, and then 3 hours of Live from America. God bless you guys. Have a great morning, and thank you for being here. Make sure you share, rumble, and follow.
Oceans rise, my soul rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Whoa. The deepest waters, your soaring hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never fail, and you won't start now. So
part of the song, man.
Spirit.